George Gomez and Evelyn's wedding here yesterday. It was really awesome, but I'm sure that may be where some families might be because it ran pretty late last night. So this morning, yeah, exactly. But we've got a Christmas song to start this morning, so I thought it would be appropriate because it is Christmas time. Anybody in the Christmas mood or no? Yeah, you're in the Christmas mood, Jesse? That's good. Well, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to get together again, Lord. And we pray that today, that as we take communion and as we sing and worship and hear the word, Father, that we would grow, Lord, into who you've called us to be. We would become more like you. We just surrender our hearts to you today. We surrender, Lord, this service into your hands. Father, we pray that you would just come and guide and lead us, Holy Spirit, into all truth. And that today would be a day that you're glorified and exalted in this place. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Got to put the communion. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. Worthy is the Lamb. The Lamb that laid down its life. The Lamb that laid down everything so that we could live. Thank you, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. You are worthy, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Today's family communion. That's why we had the cross songs and the crucifixion songs. Seems odd sometimes for Christmas to some, but I'd like to say that the reason Jesus came was to die. The reason that he became a baby was so that he could hang on a cross. In Isaiah 53, it says, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted." Here's what I want to really get to today. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." By his stripes we are healed. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. He was chastised so that we could have peace. He became broken so that we could be made whole. So today, let's go ahead and gather around the communion table. The center crackers are regular crackers. Far right, it's gluten-free. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, his blood was spilled so that we could be totally purified and made right inside of God. And his body was broken so that we could have oneness with God. What a powerful work the cross was. And today we get to, in a way, participate with that full work of the cross. And remember that he was despised and rejected by men, and a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. But we don't have to hide our faces like they did then. We don't have to despise what he did for us. We can rejoice in what he did for us. So I'm going to ask, Lisa, would you pray and bless the body of the Lord?
Father, we come before you today in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you loved us so much, Lord, that you sent your son to die, and we become so over familiar with the message, God, especially this time of year. And God, I pray that today that you would help us to regain that awe and that wonder at your love for us, God. And God, that your son that was truly the darling of heaven, God, he walked among flesh just as we do. Lord, I thank you that we have a faithful high priest, Lord, that is, he knows our afflictions. He knows, he understands. And God, I just thank you that you sent someone on the earth, God, that could pave a way back to you. And today, Lord, we fully embrace his mission. We fully embrace his sacrifice, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus, that when we're not able to heal ourselves or go to doctors or whatever, I thank you that you are the great physician. I thank you, yes, Lord, that you sent your son. And Lord, he was beaten more than any man beyond recognition. And God, I just thank you. He took our stripes, that today in Isaiah it says, we are healed. And Peter, it says, looking back, we were healed. Lord, I just thank you that it's already on the books. We already are healed. And I thank you, Lord, that our citizenship is in heaven this morning. And Lord, I just thank you for your sending your son, for his blood and his body that was broken for us. And Lord, we just take part of it. We just take it in remembrance. God, I don't want to forget. Jesus, help us not to forget. Spirit of God, help us not to forget what you've done for us. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you were broken so that we could be made whole. Crushed, Lord, so that our iniquities, God, could be totally wiped clean. Lord, so that we could have common union with you and the Father and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. I'm surprising him, but Jesse, would you bless the cup?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for willingly going to the cross for us. We thank you, Lord, that this was the Father's plan from the very beginning. That you would take our punishment, Lord, so that we could be free, so that we could be healed, so that we could be whole. Lord, we can't even begin to picture the agony and the pain that you endured. But we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to endure it. We thank you, Lord, for coming as a child and living your life as us. And taking the cross. Lord, we receive your sacrifice in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness, God. Thank you for your love, God. Thank you, Lord, that you first loved us and you demonstrated that love by your Son's death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you may be seated. Well, Pastor Ye has the main mic today, so I'm going to be an attachment and addendum today. But and I'll run the multimedia.
Oh, that's good. It's so hard.
It's so hard.
There's so much.
Yeah. Don't start it yet. Oh, you did. He was being too efficient.
It's all good.
He can't put it up?
Is this on?
No, well, yeah, I guess it's okay.
It's up.
It's there. It's not.
So,
we had a little bit of a rough day yesterday, and so I'm just praying and saying, Lord, you know, if you can take the stress off my husband, however that looks, guess how that looks. I get to speak today. Thanks. But no, I do. I am thankful because I love it. I love speaking his word. And there's a story that was told, and I don't remember which star it was. It was like either Clark Gable or Rock Hudson or somebody really well known in the olden days. Kids wouldn't know who they are. But he had an interview, and every question that was asked, he answered with, yep, yep, yep. I mean, a lot of questions. And all of a sudden, the guy says, Mr. Clark, is that all you can say? And he says, nope. So we're going to be talking about a little three-letter word, yes. It's a really powerful word. It's a word we can actually use and hold over somebody if we wanted to. It's a word that we can use that actually can bring freedom to somebody if we want it to. Our yes is very powerful. And my favorite section of the word is found in Luke 1 and 2. I love delving into all of the particulars about Mary, about Zechariah, about... Is it Zechariah there or Zacharias?
Zacharias, I think.
Yeah. S. Yeah. Because there's two of them. Anyway, But I love just getting into all of that information that's kind of under the word, where you have to go and you have to look up things and stuff. I love doing that. And what I loved about this particular story is the way that Mary, even being one so young, does everybody know that she was pretty much a teenage girl? Does everybody know that? Yeah. And so she, even being one so young, she had such great God-given wisdom. Like, even the way she responds, it is so deep and so full of wisdom that can only be, that can only come from the Lord. It can't come from anywhere else. So, as I was up late last night studying and reading and, okay, Lord, what do you want me to say? And he kept saying, yes, yes, yes. And I'm like, there's more to it than that. But as I looked it over, I got to thinking about how in Luke 1, in verse 18, Zacharias is actually questioning the angel of the Lord. How are you going to do that? You know, how are you going to bring us a baby? I'm an old man and her womb is dried up. How's that going to work? And the angel of the Lord silenced him until after the baby was born. But then in verse 36, I believe, is where Mary says, you know, Lord, how can this be? I'm a virgin. When God says, you know, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you will bear the Son of God. And the difference, you guys, I figured out this morning is attitude of the heart. Mm-hmm. Again, attitude of our heart, where our heart really is about it all. Zacharias, when he was having this communication with the angel, now let's cut him a break. Even in Daniel, it says that Daniel, when he was in the presence of God, fell before the presence of the Lord. It was frightening. It's supposed to be that way. That's the awe of that we should have for our God. If God were to human fleshly walk in this building, I don't know that any of us would be up off the floor. I think we'd all be down with our heads bowed down because he is that great. So, so great. But Zacharias almost showed I don't want to use the word sarcasm, but it was almost like a prove yourself. Prove it to me. How are you going to do that? Like, it wasn't enough that the angel said it. And that is where we get the attitude of his heart. That's why God closed his mouth. Because when I was younger and I'm looking at this story, I'm thinking, well, Zacharias pretty much said the same thing Mary did. How come God closed his mouth but didn't close hers? I mean, that didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. But as I've learned over the years about the heart of the Father, his heart is so open to us, so open when we are open to him. There's this story that I know about a family, and when they started out, you know, it was mama, daddy, brother, sister, you know, cousins, blah, blah, blah. And every year, dad would put up, you know, the train that goes around the bottom of a Christmas tree, and it's a lot of hard work to put it up. I actually saw somebody, I don't even remember who it was, on Facebook that said putting up the tree was easy, putting up the train was the hardest. You know, because it's just so intricate. You have to make sure it's going to work and it's not going to fall off and blah, blah, blah. So this dad always put up the train set for his kids at Christmas time. It just became their tradition. That's what they did. And so they learned that their kids were coming home with their kids, and Grandpa knew that the story of the train had been told. So when they got there, the 7-year-old boy, it wasn't even 30 minutes down the road. I mean, they got there, they were all sitting down after coats are off, and he says, Grandpa, are we going to put up the train? And now, you're old and you're tired and you've put that train up how many years in a row? Like 20-something? And he looked at his grandson, and his grandson, he said it almost looked like he had a little Mexican jumping bean inside him. He was just quivering. Like, are we going to put up the train? Like, he was so excited. And the grandpa just looked at him and he said, yes, we're going to put up the train. And he says, that's what I'm talking about, the little seven-year-old. And I just found that so interesting, because the power that Grandpa had in his words, he could have said, honey, it's just too much. We're not going to do that this year. We were like this year. We have a little tree. We have a big tree. Big tree is a lot of work. Little tree, not much. And it's quick and easy, and it's the damage is done. The lights are on it. It's ready to go. And you just have to fluff it out and hang a few ornaments, and you're good. But we have an almost 18-year-old in the house that says, this may be my last Christmas sleeping here, and I want the big tree. So we had to pull out everything. And we're like, we're feeling the age this time. I mean, really, I mean, I am. I shouldn't speak for you. I'm sorry, dear. But we did the same thing. But we know that the power of that yes is very powerful to someone else when that's what they're hoping that you're going to say. If you say the power of a no, it's very, very, very strong. And sometimes, you guys, and most times, our verbal is nonverbal. I mean, our communication is nonverbal, I should say. That's trying to get the right words. I remember when I was a little girl, and my mom and dad and us, we all lived in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and my dad was on a ship, and we were supposedly getting money that day, and Mama promised us McDonald's with Yahoo, however you say it, chocolate sodas. Does anybody know what those are? And so my older sister got us all ready to go. No mother. So finally she got us out walking, hoping that we could meet mother halfway, because surely McDonald's is getting cold after all this time. And then we're like several blocks away from home. Now the oldest is 13. The youngest is, 5 years younger than that. So we're 8 or 7 or however that is. Anyway, and so we're out walking, and she sees us walking, and she gets really, really mad at us for leaving the house. And we don't smell McDonald's in the car when she makes us get into the car. Yeah, that's what I say. And so she got really angry, and I remember standing and looking at her, and this is all I said, because she wasn't saying anything. She's just angry that we were out walking. You promised. And she just stared at me. And I remember feeling the strength of a promise of a mother. And that's why I never promised my kids anything that I couldn't deliver. I wouldn't even tell my kids where we were going unless we were in the car going there. Because too many things could happen. And they would take it as you letting them down. I didn't want to let my kids down. So anyway, I say all that to say the answer that Mary gives at this time is, it's way more than a yes, way more than that. But, and it entails a lot of stuff, but the whole thing is that her heart just spoke, yes. Yes, I can, I don't know how it's going to do, how it's going to work. I don't know how that can happen, but if you say so, I'm all in. She's all in.
I kind of think the contrast between Zacharias and Mary is that Zacharias had a Christian adult thought process, and Mary had a little child process where she was saying, I don't know how you're going to do this, but Lord, you can do anything.
Right. And for you to say that is that just the scripture proven, unless we become like children, we can't enter the kingdom of God. And that's very true right there. And Zacharias was a priest. Like, he knew how powerful God was.
He was religious.
He was very religious, very religious. Okay, so after Mary after she gets the news, I've always found it very, very odd that this young teenage girl would travel to see, would travel to see her cousin. Now, I want you to remember there's no automobiles back then. There are donkeys and there are camels, but not everybody had one. And she immediately wanted to go see her cousin Elizabeth, the one who's pregnant with the mute husband's baby, right? Okay, so it's approximately 276 miles between Nazareth and where Elizabeth is at. But even that doesn't stop Mary. See what I mean? She knew where she had to go to be able to hear from God and get counsel from a wiser, older woman. And their relationship was that close. And I've said it before, there's no telephone. You can't pick up and say, "Hey, Elizabeth, I'm on my way. Is that okay?" You know? Yeah, are you going to be home? Number one. And number two, she stayed with her for 3 months. Like, you can't, you know, I'm going, "Hey, Elizabeth, I'm here, and I was staying for 3 months. Congratulations to you." You know, they just, their relationship was that pure. And I love it that God puts people like that in our lives. And mentoring is a big deal, you guys. Mentoring somebody that doesn't know so much. That, you know, as much as you do, or that's brand new in the faith or whatever, because that's what Elizabeth was for Mary. You have anything you want to say, baby?
No, that's good.
Okay. So we all know that Mary ends up singing the song to the Lord. And in the middle of it, she's actually kind of being a little bit political. I found that very funny too, because she's a teenage girl, but in her song, she's actually bringing in about, you know, how bad the economy is and how bad the country, the state of the country. And sound familiar? Like, you know what I mean? But she was giving all of this to this. She was just pouring everything out to the Lord and saying, you know, "Your will be done for it all, Lord. Your will be done." And so, let me find my place here. So her song actually is known as a revolution song. Like, she said things that most women don't say back then, but she was very forward, apparently thinking and speaking, because she sang it out in a song. Could you imagine if our answer to something was a song? I mean, think about that. You know what I mean? Like that. But her heart was so pure. And her praise of God and her worship of God, so a part of her, that as she's walking 276 miles, she's not looking at how long it is or how sore her feet is. She's just praising the Lord as she goes. And I think that that's a really good lesson for us through this season. Sometimes we don't feel like praising the Lord. Sometimes we don't feel like worshiping Him. This season can be a really good season. Can be a really hard season for people. And I don't, and the people that are in between, you can tell they're in between. They look in between. God wants us to have, I believe, He wants us to have not just an experience with Him and not just a relationship with Him, but a continuing interaction with Him. Because an experience can just be one thing. But an interaction is continual. It's a ebb and it's a flow. It's Him speaking, it's me speaking. It's Him really living in my life versus Him not. Do you have anything you want to say? Because I'm a little bit stumped here about where to go. I'm just going to pray a minute.
Yeah, let's go back, because again, I think it's about the yes. When the angel comes, like you said, Mary asks the question, "How can this be, since I don't know a man?" Because that was in it, the impossible, right? that at that moment was facing this, you know, exhortation that the angel was giving. And the angel answered, said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." And then this is what Mary says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." In other words, she's saying, "Behold, I am going to just yield to what you're saying. I'm going to be a servant to what you're saying, angel of the Lord, Gabriel. And let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed her. And even though she had questions, like you said, her heart was, God, if this is you, if this is your plan, as impossible as it sounds, I mean, you know, defying all physical, you know, biological reason, if this is you, I'll be a maidservant to you. I'll be a handmaid to you. I'll yield to you, you know, whatever you say, whatever. And versus Zacharias is like, okay, I know you're an angel of God, but I'll tell you what, this, yeah, right. I mean, the yeah was coming in there. He's like, you know, yeah, sure, go ahead and do that if you can. You know, it's like almost like
prove yourself.
And instead of, wow, this is amazing, and you can do anything. Even, I mean, for crying out loud, he should have known the story of Abraham and Sarah. I mean, he was a Bible scholar, I'm sure. And it's probably one of the first stories he's told as a young Jewish boy. And yet, he had grown up and become so familiar with God's system that he couldn't believe how miraculous God still could be. And I believe that we get that way. Like Lisa was saying, with communion, you know, and, you know, I try to cherish it and take it, you know, every time with a fresh heart and fresh revelation, fresh understanding. But it's easy when we do anything repeat in a repeated pattern to become somewhat jaded and somewhat almost like a matter of fact and not appreciate. And so I believe, you know, one of the keys, like you said, is Mary's heart.
Right.
That she had a purity of heart, and that came out in her answer. As you were saying, Lord, let it happen to me.
Yeah.
And I believe for any of us who get a message from God that seems impossible, maybe it's a prophetic word that was spoken over even years ago, or maybe it's just recently, something the Lord's put on your heart, but it seems impossible to you. If he said it, then all you need to do is be, you know, a servant to that word and say, as you have said, let your word take place in me. Because your word is powerful enough to transform any situation.
As I was thinking about this, I actually, the big aha moment that I got, you know, the big angel singing, all that, was how this story actually mimics the past couple of years, how we were so religious that we couldn't see the hand of God moving. And now we've just, with the religion, and it's like, Lord, how are you going to move? Like, we know you can, and we want to see it. And it may not look like what you thought it would look like, but in that knower, deep in that knower, you know that you know, that's God. That's him. Some people don't need a Moses burning bush experience. Some people do.
Some people definitely do.
Some people have to see the suffering in the world before they finally get it. Duh, I'm blessed. You know what I'm saying? Some people, all they have to do is see the majesty of the sea and the beautiful cliffs and all that, and they're like, and I was reminded when I was thinking of this last night of Jesse one time before he actually started attending church faithfully, not religiously, faithfully. He walked outside and he looked up at the stars and he's like, how could people not know that there's a God? I mean, you look at it. I mean, you know, you just look at it. Some people, that's all it takes to get their attention. But others, it's almost like grab them and shake them and turn them upside down and every way which but loose, and they still are not getting it. But you know what? They will. It may not be here. May not be at the next place that they're at. It may be tomorrow. It may be 5 years from now. They'll get it. They'll get it. The God that received that song from Mary, that revolution song about, you know, you've blessed me, and I'm here, and you're going to use me, and all of the things that she said in that whole passage of, well, she's saying in that whole passage of scripture. She did that, and what ended up happening is that's when their relationship went. Do you know what I mean? It's like when you first meet your spouse, and you're like, oh, wonder if, you know, wonder if this is it. Wonder, you know, is he the one, or blah, blah, blah. But then when you know, you just know, and it's just like all of a sudden it all just comes together. That's how Mary was with the Lord. It's like, okay, let's do this. Let's do this thing. Let's get her done. And she did. But you know what's amazing to me is her yes was like, have you guys ever seen that arcade game where just one more marble or one more penny and they all fall in? She was the final. She was the final marble. She was the final penny. Her yes made it all just come down. And it just,
that's really good.
All came from there. Her yes was the open, wide open gate for us to come to God. Really, it was, if you think about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Our yes is very powerful. Our yes is very, very powerful. And God may be requiring you to say yes to Him, even though you don't know what that looks like. Like, we say yes, Lord, but we don't know what that looks like anymore. And that's okay. He does. So we're going to have a little, how many of you guys know what a pop quiz is? You remember one of those from school way back when?
Most people don't like them, I think.
Uh-huh, that's right. So we're going to have a pop quiz, and you, we're going to see if you guys get the correct answer. Okay, here we go. Because we have to practice so we get our yeses right, okay? So it comes natural. Okay, so here we go. On the count of three, let's everybody say yes. One, two, three.
Yes.
Okay, let's do it one more time with a little more enthusiasm, please. One, two, three.
Yes.
Okay, there we go. All right. So knowing that this world that we live in is not the world that God intended, you think about that. Do you think He honestly intended the world to be like it is? He didn't. He may have seen it coming down the pipe, but He didn't. That's not what He intended for us. So knowing that this is not the world God intends, do we want God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven?
Yes.
Oh, good answer. Do we want to see an end to violence in nations and neighborhoods and schools so that the lion will lay down with the lamb and the child of God can lead us all?
Yes.
Okay. Are we ready for stables? Now get this. Are we ready for stables to become as holy as churches? For street people to be as valued as Wall Street people? For forgiveness to be the currency of our community, the Holy Spirit to be our daily guide.
Yes.
Are we ready to see those who mourn find comfort? Those who are lost find salvation. Those who are fearful to find faith. And those who are in despair to find hope.
Yes.
Okay, so, you know what Angel Gabriel is saying right about now? Does anybody have a clue what he's saying besides yes? That's what I'm talking about. See, that's God's plan. And it takes our yes. And it may not be a comfortable yes. Don't move. Stay right where you are. That may not be what you want to hear. Go there. Speak to them. Me? Speak to somebody? Are you kidding? It may require your very powerful yes. If He's called you to it, He'll get you through it, right? You know what I mean?
It's His will, it's His bill.
There you go. See? All of those things. And you guys, this time of year, the importance that we put on it with all the commercialism and stuff, that's not the important part at all. God meant for this kind of time of year to be a reflective time of year, I believe. For us to reflect on what's been done already, what he's getting ready to do and what will be for us in the future. It's a time to reflect on what he's given us, the precious babies that we have, the roof over our head, the food in the cupboard, the refrigerator full of cold milk. I mean, you know, for us to be reflective. It's not about how many presents you count under the tree, how many people you have in your home. It none of that stuff matters anymore, guys. Kids, it's okay for it to matter to you. You're kids. But for us adults, our yes is very powerful. And it can be the best gift that we give to the Lord this year.
That's good. We'll pray for us.
You pray.
You and me pray?
Yeah.
She must think I'm a professional or something. She wants me to pray. Right? Well, first, does anyone have anything they want to share? Yes. Yes. Come on. I'm sitting there. Wait a minute.
Yes,
what's missing?
Yeah. It's not that it's missing. It's when Pastor Mike said crushed, he uses that word a lot, crushed. Christ was crushed for us. Well, we know that when we bake a loaf of bread, we smell it. But we put it on the table and it's there and we don't touch it. It's just a loaf of bread. It gives us nothing. Okay, so we can smell like Christ. We, you know, Christ has his own incense, his own smell. But if we don't taste of him, we don't get anything from him. If he did not break his body for us, we would not have the ability to receive from him. And then in the crushed grapes, a grape is a grape. It's on the vine. It's a grape. They smell when they're coming fresh, when, you know, before they're harvested, but that's all. They're just hanging there. They warrant us nothing until the vintner takes it and crushes it. Mm-hmm. And then the wine that comes from it is what, in the day, back in the day, wine was mostly what they drank for illness, for merriment, you know, for celebration. If we don't in communion, if we don't allow ourselves to be crushed, then Christ can't flow through us. And the crushing comes from that when the grapes are crushed, the juice comes one way and all the skin goes the other way. And Zacharias had a skin. Mm-hmm. He had a skin over him. And we do, we get this skin. And in communion, when we take the wine, we release our skin, our flesh on our mind and our spirit, to be taken away, and we are able to see supernaturally and see with faith who God is for us. Amen. And so, and that's been brewing in me the whole time.
That's good.
And when we think about it, Jesus had to say yes first.
Yeah, he did.
Can you imagine that conversation in heaven when God saw and knew what was happening and he said, and there will be one who will be sacrificed for you? Jesus had to say yes. Mm-hmm. He could have said, I don't want to. And I'm sure maybe he kind of, he can't be any, we can't have the doubts that we have if we weren't created in his image. Okay, so he said yes. And then he came to earth, and in the garden, he said, if this is your will, let this cup pass from me, but it's not going to pass from me. So yes, Christ said yes. He said yes to being broken. He said yes to being crushed.
Yes, amen.
Good yeah, word. He said yes. Amen. It's interesting that Jesus didn't implement something that we hang on our neck or that we put on our forehead or some kind of, you know, apparel that we wear to be our representation of our connection with him, of something that we ate, is something that we consume, something that becomes part of us. Anyone else? Daniel, do you, not this time, huh? Okay. All right, well, I'm going to pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today. God, this day that you have given us, Lord, another day to serve you, another day to live for you, and Lord, yes, another day to say yes to you. And Father, I pray right now for those who are here and those who may be hearing my voice that have been questioning Maybe something that you've spoken over their lives, or something that you have challenged them with, or maybe it's just a vision that you've given them that they are to participate in with you, and they have been hesitant, and they have been putting it on the back burner, so to speak, and maybe asking, is this really true? Is this really true? Because it doesn't make sense, like Zacharias. Lord, I pray that they would get a heart of Mary, and they would just say, according to your word, let it happen. I'll serve your word. I'll be a maidservant. I'll be a servant to what you're saying. I'll be a servant to your kingdom. Lord, that there would be a surrender today and a yes spoken out. Lord, no matter how impossible and how beyond natural reasoning it may be, Lord, we pray that faith would rise. And that confidence in who you are, not confidence in our own ability, not confidence in what we know or what we've been trained to do, but confidence in who you are in us, that we would be able to say yes. And so, Lord, we do. We say yes to you again today. We say yes, Lord, to your saving us. We say yes, Lord, to your causing us to become just like you. We say yes, Lord, to your plan for our lives, as difficult as it may be, or as victorious as it may be. We say yes to you in our lives, Lord.
Thank you.
And we just thank you, Lord, for the examples of those of faith in your word, like Mary, who said yes. Even though all circumstances said something different, they said yes. And so I just bless this people, our hearts that are here right now, Lord, with your presence and with your encouragement to be people who respond to you in the affirmative, in a yes, with an exclamation point. Amen. Oh, yes. Is that the 21st? The 21st, which is a Wednesday night, I don't know if Zeke told you, but we'll be having a open house over at the Parsonage. And so that will be from 6 to 8. And so we'll have goodies, we'll have food, and we'll have Christmas music going, and we'll have fellowship and fun. So I encourage everyone to come. You can bring what? Kids too, yep.
Everybody.
The whole family. You can bring, you know, friends, maybe ones who have been maybe not doing anything for Christmas. They have been going to Christmas parties. Please bring them and just let them come and enjoy time. We'll have some hot cocoa and usually make not fresh cider, but really nice cider, and she can cook, okay? So she's going to make some great things. I'll make something that maybe will be tolerable for the palate. I'm not sure. No, just kidding. But, and then that following Saturday, the 24th.
Christmas Eve
will be our Christmas service, because Christmas Day, we're going to let you be with your families, which is awesome. Get to sleep in. Jesse says, yes. And just enjoy time with your family. But we will have a joint service with the Journey Church. Is the church that shares this building with us. They're great.
Wonderful people.
They do have live worship. They have living people up on the stage, which would be awesome. we're live worship, but it's not quite the same. But and then that will be, I think, at 11, and I think it'll go like about an hour and a half, yeah. And then mm-hmm. you'll be able to have your Christmas Eve also with your family. So that Saturday, the 24th, will be our Christmas service. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Love you too.